In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text, our Old Testament reading, our Gospel reading, you may be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let me not hear the Lord's voice again, lest I die. And the Lord said, they are right in what they have spoken. Can you imagine not wanting to hear the Lord's voice? Can you imagine such a distance between you and a separation that you don't want to be near God? In one very real sense of the word, I know you can. And so can I. Because we are a sinner. And sinners do not get to stand in the presence of God in and of themselves and live. And hence, as they stand on the base of that Mount Sinai and see the cloud of glory, our Lord's presence, they cry out in fear to the point of death. Israel knew God was good, but they knew in and of themselves they were not. God was not the problem. They were the problem. And let's face it, who really wants to hear the Lord's voice speaking to you while you're sneaking off for another drink? Or while you're exchanging lustful glances or text messages? Who wants to hear the Lord's voice when you're cheating on a test? Or while you're sharing some juicy piece of gossip that you heard in Lidgerwood? Who really wants to hear the voice of the Lord in the midst of your anger at yelling at and to those whom God has given you to love and those for whom he has died? Who wants to hear the Lord's voice when you're running rampant complaining about someone? Who wants to hear the Lord's voice when you know exactly what he would say to you? When you know that you and I are going against the word of the Lord, that we are sinning. Such is, quite frankly, the fear of the demons in the text for today. If you remember, on this particular Sabbath day, St. Mark says, when Jesus enters the synagogue, he begins teaching, right? The voice of the Lord rings forth in the synagogue. And the result is there's a man who's sitting there with an unclean spirit. He's possessed by a demon. And what happens when he hears the voice of the Lord? He absolutely cries out in horror and he freaks out. What do you want to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? I know who you are. Have you come to destroy us? You are the Holy One of God. And while what the demon spoke is absolutely true, he's the Holy One of God, still the demon makes a confession of Christ in fear and not in faith. Did you notice that? Christ is not his Savior, he's his terror. Have you come to destroy us? That's the best the demon can say, just simply acknowledging that Jesus is God. He hates the voice of the Lord. He cannot stand to hear the voice there ringing in the synagogue. The Lord's voice for demons are a voice of judgment. They're a voice of destruction. And it is no different for us when all we are is sinners. When the best that we can offer and have is our sin, then we are not much different than the demons. Our little escapes into pornography, our nodding of a head in favor of a woman's right to choose what she wishes to do with an unwanted pregnancy, our attentive listening to the juicy gossip and then spreading it all around, our insulting and debasing words that we use to speak about those whom Christ has suffered for and those whom we have been given to love, words about our neighbor, our insolence, our disrespect for those in authority over us, our holding on to grudges, and our refusal to forgive. As the Lord has forgiven you, you and I must also forgive. Our refusal to hear and study God's word, our pride, our jealousy, our covetousness, these things, they don't come from the Lord. They are the doctrine of demons, you see. Whatever particular sin you may struggle with, then, it doesn't matter in this way. You've confessed moments ago that you are by nature sinful and unclean. You are sons of Adam and daughters of Eve, and the Lord's voice to a sinner is not one of comfort. It is one of terror Otherwise, you wouldn't say, we justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. Our Lord, no, he doesn't offer kindness to demons. And our Lord does not offer kindness toward sin. He doesn't think of it lightly. In fact, he speaks the same thing to both. Be silent and come out of him. And when our Lord speaks, it happens. He who says, let there be light, and there is light. He who says to the wind and the waves, peace be still, says, come out of him, and it happens. And immediately that unclean spirit, convulsing him, cries out with a loud voice. And he comes out of him. So it is for you, my dear saints of the living God. You gather together here in the fellowship of the saints of Emmanuel. You hear Jesus' voice, and a voice that calls what he says. So though you are gathered and terrified in one half on the account of your sin, though you've come with all of the things that you are ashamed of this week, filling your life with unrighteousness and the doctrines of demons, still our Lord comes in his glory and he rebukes your sin and he gives to you his righteousness. He says to you, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And every last sin you are ashamed of, and every last moment of regret that you have is removed from you as far as the east is from the west. For you do not have a God of terror. You have a God of mercy. He came because he loves sinners. He eats with sinners. He dwells with sinners. He loves you so much that he wants to remove the sin from you. But he won't just simply dismiss it and treat it as though it's nothing. Though our Lord is certainly not safe, he is good, and he is merciful. He didn't deal with your sin lightly. He didn't dismiss it. He did something far more profound. The wages of sin is death, and so our God actually entered into your flesh and mind. He took all of your sin upon himself, all of your guilt, all of your shame, even your death, and he took it there to the cross in love for you. The wages of sin is death, and so Christ died in holy love and joy for you. And you who were once far off from the Father have been reconciled to God. You have been brought near so that you may call him what he rightly is, our Father who art in heaven. God is your Father, not separated from you, not looking to cast you into the fires of hell. There is no terror in his voice. He comes with to you today. To you who see your sin and confess your sin, his voice is one of mercy. It's one of tenderness. It's one of beauty. It's one of perfection that shines brightly in the midst of our dark and latter world. I forgive you. I see your struggle. I know what you're going through, but I haven't left you. I haven't forsaken you. I've engraved you on the palms of my hands, and never will I leave you, and never will I forsake you. And even in your darkest, deepest moments in the valley of the shadow of death, I will be your light in life. I will guide you into springs of living waters. I will wipe every tear from your eyes. I will raise you up in glory. His voice heals your broken spirit. His voice forgives your sins. His voice creates within you a new and a contrite heart that loves God and loves its neighbor, because his voice actually has the power to do what he says. And so you are sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. You are baptized into Christ. You don't belong to sin. You don't belong to death. You do not belong to the devil. You belong to Jesus. He is your God. You are his child. And no demon, no sin, not even death can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. For your sins are forgiven. It's this Sabbath voice, this voice of our Lord Jesus, that causes us, like those in the synagogue, to stand back and to marvel. Who am I that the Lord should forgive me? Who am I that the Lord should love me and die for me? Chief of sinners, though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me. Died that I might live on high, lives that I might never die. So we rejoice and we question among ourselves, saying, what is this? A new teaching. With authority, he commands the unclean spirit. He commands my sin to be silent and get out of me. And even all of these things obey him. With a voice like that,
comes not at wrath or anger. It comes love and forgiveness. And what's to stop that love and forgiveness? To spreading to you and then from you to all of the people in Lidgerwood. What is to keep the love of God silent in your bones? For in joy you and I confess and cry out. In the midst of so many of life's dangers, so many of the demons, so many of the doubts that we have, with such a frailty in and of ourselves, we cannot stand upright on our own. So we rejoice that we have a God who is not against us, but who is for us, who gave his life unto death on the cross, that we may not die, but that we may live eternally with him. So in the midst of all of your cares, in the midst of all of your sorrows, in the midst of your sufferings, in the midst of your pain, in the midst of death, fix your eyes upon Jesus and continue in the midst of your prayer. Dear Lord, grant me strength to carry me through all of my temptations. Hold me in the palms of your hand. Forgive me all my sins until that great and glorious day when by the sound of the trumpet, I am called to life with you in your kingdom. Help me to return again and again and again in joy to receive you your mercy and to depart in your peace from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.